day I wake up with a single dream running through my head. To throw a little stone into a mighty stream and watch the ripples as they spread. If you want to make a ripple, if you want to make a wave, playing safe and thinking small doesn't move the ball at all. There's humanity to save. An excerpt from the song Ripple from the movie Spirited. Hi, I'm Ansi and welcome to my podcast For the Love of Group Fitness. I've been a multidisciplined group fitness instructor for over 30 years. I'm a trainer, and as well as having a yoga studio and a network marketing business, I help fit pros kickstart and build successful businesses. This podcast is about the crazy yet wonderfully addictive world of group fitness and what we as instructors do and don't do for the love of it. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the podcast. This year is already halfway through, and it's time to ask yourself, are you on track with your goals? Firstly, I can't believe how quick this year has gone. I don't know about you, but if you're feeling stuck or lacking in accountability, and you're not quite on track with where you want to be, with your career or in life, then I have just a solution for you. A brand new and affordable monthly group that will help give you the support and love punches you need in order to reach your goals. So reach out to me on the major social media channels for more information. In this week's episode, we have the pleasure of speaking with Maureen Hagen, or Mo, as she is best known. Mo is a global fitness ambassador with almost four decades of experience in the fitness industry. She is an award-winning fitness professional, recognized for her teaching, work, and leadership in the industry. Mo has been named Canada's top 10 women of power in 2020 and a top 100 health influencer, and currently serves as the Chief Operating Officer for CanFit Pro, Canada's leading fitness education authority. So get comfortable and listen in. Mo Hagen, thank you so much. Thank you so much for being here. You are a legend.
Oh, well, I'm speaking to one, so thank you.
Oh, no. This is a podcast for the love of group fitness. And I think sometimes the group fitness instructor feels very undervalued and unappreciated. And so I thought I'd do this podcast just to, you know, share some stories and to talk and to give encouragement and inspiration to the people that are listening.
Yeah. Well, thank you. It's needed greatly, especially today.
So for our listeners who don't know you, tell us a little bit about your background and how you ended up in this industry.
Wow. Always happy to share my story. I'm going to start, it's so cliche to say, I found the passion for movement as soon as I could learn to walk, which was a little later than your regular toddler. I had, I was a premature baby. So I had a little help from physiotherapy early in life to get myself on my feet and moving. And as my mother always said, you just never looked back when you found your feet to move. And also being a baby in the 60s, I was hyperactive. I guess today you clinically diagnose it as a hyperactive or HDH, you know, high attention deficit disorder, but I just had a lot of energy and it's become part of my brand today. But my mother put me in a lot of organized activities. I wouldn't say sports, but activities. And I was blessed to learn to skate and swim and dance and do gymnastics, et cetera, et cetera. And I can't say I was really great at all of those activities, but I loved just the moments of joy that I felt when I moved. What I learned as I grew up was movement also helped me to manage my energy upstairs. That is my attention, focus, clarity, and happiness. I always felt like I needed to be doing things, and activity also helped me feel more grounded. And so the joy of exercise, rehabilitation, and then fitness fell into my lap accidentally. I think many stories you'll hear that, right? And see, is I fell into group fitness accidentally. I actually applied for a job. I was a coach in gymnastics at the age of 12 and 13, wow, all the way into my, I think into age 16 or so. So I actually worked as a coach to help people who had passion for gymnastics learn the sport. But on the side, I went to dance classes, and I always wanted to be a professional dancer, like most dreams of those who love to move. And I applied for a dance instructor position when I was 15, mm-hmm, in my hometown. What I didn't realize when I applied for that dance fitness job was, and again, we're talking, I didn't have any formal training. I didn't have a certificate. I hadn't gone to school. I took phys ed class. I applied for a job and I didn't realize I was walking into a nightclub. And okay, I told my mother that I have a job teaching dance in the afternoon at a nightclub. She said, no. So I ended up going, you know, through high school and went to university for physical health education. That was my stepping stone career to my true calling, which I thought at that time was going to be anything to do with fitness, where I could travel the world, teach and lead people how to gain healthy lifestyles through fitness. Mm. This was in the 80s, wow, where formal fitness degrees as well as careers did not exist. So again, throughout this whole journey, I moonlit as a fitness instructor. It was a way to make some extra money in the summer during the school year. And as I graduated from physical health education, I really didn't know what to do with that degree, because again, teaching physical education, although sounded fantastic, a dream career for many, because you could wear workout clothes every day and be in the gym, I couldn't see myself traveling the world as a phys ed teacher. So I went back to school for my, I guess you could say, my original calling, which was to become a physiotherapist. Again, that did not really have a map of the world connected to that degree, but I took a sabbatical shortly after I started working as a physiotherapist while moonlighting, mm-hmm, as an aerobic instructor. All those years, a good 7 or 8 years moonlighting, right, as a aerobics instructor. I took a sabbatical and went to New Zealand. A hint for all of those who are part of the Les Mills world of teaching is I fell upon Les Mills world of fitness and was introduced to Les Mills. Now I share that not because I hadn't been working in the industry up to that time, but when I got home from my sabbatical as a physiotherapist in a secure job with a pensioned income, making more money than my mother made as a healthcare professional, I quit my full-time dream career within 3 weeks of coming home.
Wow.
And told my mother, I'm leaving my job to become a fitness director at an up-and-coming gym expansion in Canada called Good Life Fitness. And she said to me, Mo, you're leaving your dream career since you were 6 to become an aerobics instructor the rest of your life? And I said, yes, I am.
And what else did she say? I stumbled
across it and made it a career where I've now been able to travel the world teaching and training group fitness instructors.
Amazing.
And et cetera, et cetera. Yeah.
What else did your mother say when you said yes, that was what you were doing? Did she just go like, oh.
I was actually driving on a highway in Canada in my boss's, the owner of Good Life Fitness's BMW convertible that weekend, because he bribed me often, again, working as a physio in a large teaching hospital here in London, Ontario, Canada, while moonlighting at Good Life Fitness as an instructor after hours. And he said, he would always say to me, Mo, I just opened a gym. Would you just go there and teach what you teach and upskill all my instructors? I'll give you my BMW for the weekend and I'll put you up in a hotel. I'm like, yeah. He didn't pay me. And so my mother, I don't remember the rest of the conversation except a year. So that would have been 1991. And 3 years later, my mom actually passed away. Oh. And the last thing that I learned about my mother was she had talked to her nurse that was taking care of her, and she kept saying to the nurse, pick up the magazine on my night table. And it was a picture of myself with my boss and my the other leaders of the company. I was one of four leaders at the time with the owner, and we are featured on the London Business Magazine as the up and coming company in Canada. And my mother would brag about what I did at Good Life in my role as a director of group fitness at the time. And I didn't really know that she bragged and knew what I did, because no one ever, my family, no one really knew what I did. They just knew I got paid to do fitness full time, but they did not understand my job.
No, I think that's the same for my parents. You know,
yeah, we have a similar background, I think.
I think the when I was lecturing at a university, they understood that.
Yes.
Because it was a proper job.
A real job.
But everything else that I do, they just... Like now, I mainly talk about the yoga studio because they kind of understand that more. Because mm-hmm. It's a bricks and mortar business. So everything else, yeah, no.
I realize. And I was lucky to be in the industry at the right time, and we're, you know, we grew up in the industry, you and I, and, you know, of course I followed you. I didn't realize the stages I stood on with you and realized just exactly how influential and powerful you have been as a leader. I'm just blessed that I've had the opportunity to have you as a mentor in my life, but, you know, no one ever understood. In fact, this is a classic example of how my friends and family understood my role. My twin sister used to say, "I feel sorry for you because you can never sleep in your own bed every night." And I'm like, "Are you kidding me? I get to sleep in the beds of the most inquisitive places around the world and, you know, get off a plane and be in a place in the world with a community that we all connect with, but that I've never met before." And that is part of the reward of being in a career where, you know, it can take you places, but you can also have the opportunity to shape. Mm-hmm. And that was the part that I didn't understand exactly the impact that I was making. I just knew that I had opportunities to learn and grow. And that's what was, you know, passionately called me to these opportunities. But yeah, it's still to this day, I have people say to me, "What do you do?" And or they say, "Well, what do you do now since the pandemic? I mean, fitness stopped. Like, are you doing another job?" Or I'm like, no, fitness doesn't stop for those that are called to this profession. Mm. You just have to change or navigate a new path for everyone, including yourself.
What was it? So you mentioned going to New Zealand. What was it about Les Mills that hooked you in, and you're still involved right today?
I'm still involved, and what hooked me in immediately was the energy that I could feel before walking into the bricks and mortar. Because in New Zealand, because of the, you know, subtropical environment they live in, it's not like you need to close the windows in the summer for AC, or in the winter, you know, they just were open. And I was up the street, I could hear the music, and I just followed it. And you know, right? To the Auckland City Center location. And when I walked in, the busiest part of the club was Studio One, which of course many people are also aware of. I could not believe my eyes when I walked upstairs. I actually invited myself on a tour, pretending to buy a membership, which I wasn't intending to buy because I was a, you know, poor backpacker. In fact, wanted to get a job temporarily while I was there. Had no idea I was walking into this pre-choreographed business model that, you know, was very particular about how they trained instructors. But when I walked in and saw over 200 people in a studio lifting a bar at the same time, and yes, I was blessed to walk into a Mike McSweeney body pump class, prime time in the afternoon. And then I worked my way into that club as a free guest for a week, gave up my trip to the Bay of Islands. And I went every day, all day. And I think I did like 30 classes that week. And I kept calling my boss, David Patchelevins, letting him know what I discovered. And that was a discovery that day, that week in 1991, where I'll not look back, because that was the reason after traveling throughout New Zealand and Australia further on, but I got home and I said to my boss, I did not miss physio, but what I missed was what I discovered, and that is the passion for becoming a trainer of a program that would allow us to grow and reach our goals, which at the time, Patch had this wild goal of having 100 clubs within the next 3 to 5 years. And we were at 25 clubs, not even, oh gosh, no, I'm mistaken. We had 11 clubs and he wanted 100. And I said to him, if we're going to duplicate ourselves that quickly, we cannot rely solely on freestyle instructors and finding talent here, there, and everywhere. We need to build it internally with a proven model. Mm. So that was 1991. Les Mills did not export their programs until 1996. And we saw it at IDEA in the US, and I invited Patch. I actually told my boss he needed to come with me to see this program. So he came to World IDEA at the time. We first met the original five that were launching Pump around the globe. And that was 1996. And then we secured exclusive rights in 1999. Mm-hmm. It took us 4 years, but the dream of seeing what was possible. So we were able to meet Patch's goals of building that many clubs. And my department at the time when I started, we had about 50 instructors. And at the height of my position at Good Life as the vice president of group fitness, we had 3,700, closing in on 4,000 instructors, of which 70% of them taught Les Mills. So that really was a game changer for the business in Canada with group fitness, because it was pre-choreographed. It allowed us to bring their talents alive, but not having to worry about the lesson plan, and allowed us to grow and find enough instructors that relied on a pre-choreographed format. So that really also changed the trends as we continue to see every year. But that was really a long answer to the, what was the moment at Les Mills that really resonated with me? It was group fitness, and it changed the trajectory of my career and thousands and thousands of instructors' careers in Canada.
It is an amazing club, isn't it, to walk into? And it's, if you're into group fitness, I think if you're into group fitness full stop, it's like a group fitness, it's group fitness heaven, isn't it?
It's heaven.
And yeah, I remember like my first time at going to New Zealand, I think it was 95, and I thought, oh, I'll go and do a body pump at 10 past six in the morning. It was packed. 200 odd people. And nobody told me at the time that the bars were weighted bars. They were steel bars. And I arrived last night, the night before, and I put my usual weight on the bar, and I picked it up in the warm-up, and I thought, God, this jet lag.
We all said the same thing. Oh, my gosh, I must be jet. I can't lift this thing.
And when I realized it was a weighted bar, this is like, you know, little Chinese woman next to me, and she's like squatting, she's got a stack on there. I'm going,
oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yes. Been there, done that. And I used to take a lot of instructors to New Zealand, and I'd never tell them the bar was weighted and just let them experience it as well.
But it's like, I think you said it was the energy, right? It's that energy that of group fitness as a whole that's really addictive. And I think from a club sales perspective, isn't it, when you're showing potential customers around a club, you know, to allow them to step into a room where there's a class going off, it's
a connection.
The connection, the feel of it, the energy of it that you don't get from a treadmill or...
I always say, NC, you know, at the end of the day, two things happen. One, you get praise and gratitude for being there. We always thank our members, right? And the treadmill doesn't say, I love you. You were fantastic today. I can't wait to see you tomorrow. Whereas an instructor will say that to their members, even on the worst of days, if they're not quite, you know, on their game, and they still say thank you and great to have you here. And the other thing is, as an instructor, which is an important lesson in life for all of us as leaders, is as an instructor, you get a, whether you're sitting, standing, or in Shavasana, you get a namaste or a standing ovation every time you go to work. Imagine if we could give every associate a standing ovation at the end of every time they finish their job, there'd be far more engagement. And that's the connection piece. You don't get that from a treadmill. The treadmill doesn't, you know, call you out when you, you know, missed a day in a loving way. That's the piece that, you know, I know as a operator of clubs and as a leader in the company, educating a new manager and or leader in the company about the magic of group fitness for taking care of your members. Mm-hmm. You get them in that studio, that instructor will take care of that fragile egg, and you will have them, if you keep them coming for the first 3 months, you'll have them for life, or at least for the period of time that helps in, you know, helps them have change in their life. Mm-hmm. But if you just introduce them to a treadmill and show them how to navigate the gym, like, good luck. They just leave for the next deal down the street. Yes. But you don't quit your friends. You quit clubs every day.
Yeah. I was just laughing to myself when you said the treadmill doesn't talk to you and say, hello, good morning.
Well, maybe Mo. Today it does.
But this is the thing. So I kind of just thought, you know, with the future, with AI, because instructors at ground level, you see it on Facebook groups, etc., they're kind of already thinking, oh, you know, there are clubs that run, you know, that offer virtual classes, mm-hmm. and there's, you know, there's all this stuff, you know, like virtual reality and things. Mm-hmm. So instructors at ground level are start, you know, can feel insecure for their future.
Yes. What
are your thoughts on that?
Well, I actually personally experienced that prior to, you know, the pandemic that locked us down and moved us to the technology-based delivery of everything, classes, work, training. We launched virtual fitness in studio at Good Life Fitness. And my role as VP at the time was to travel to all the clubs and to have town halls with the instructors. And our message was how it was going to complement their service and attract people that would perhaps never walk into their studio or their class ever. Mm-hmm. And I always use my sister as an example. She taught me many things as someone who hated fitness was no, I can't come to the club, let alone your class, because one, I have two left feet, therefore not coordinated. She thought I have nothing to wear and I need to lose weight. Which is the excuse me, I can't go to a club. Everybody will judge me. Yeah. But she said to me, but I can do this at home on my own. And of course, as a fitness professional, educated as I am, I'd say, how do you exercise on your own? You do not know how. But what the virtual offering did for my sister was that it gave her the opportunity to start and get an experience and then get bored with that experience because she only knew so many things she did virtually. And then guess what? She asked me, can I get a membership and come to the club? So I feel that we need to help show group fitness instructors the path forward and how complementary services, including personal training, virtual fitness, whether it's on their phone, when they're not in your class doing training ABC with you, they're on an app or behind a screen or in another session, learning how to build functional strength so they can actually do better in your whatever class with you. And so that was not an easy sell, but they understood. Mm-hmm. And when it came time to launching virtual fitness, at least five or more years before the pandemic, instructors learned that it wasn't a threat. It became a compliment to what they gave because they could wow you in the class and then say, Ansi, I know you love working your core. There are great core classes and I'd recommend you do, you know, two more and then see me again next week. So we actually became more personalized in our delivery of our class as a group fitness instructor because we were able to give them options outside of when they came to see you or one of your peer instructors' classes. So it's the seek to understand and then find out how to fit in or complement the offering, because it's not going to change. It's only going to become more the more opportunities to use technology, virtual reality, number one, which I actually, again, understand.
Have you tried it?
Yes, I have.
I haven't yet.
Oh, well, at FIBO, which is the big event conference in Europe,
yeah.
I did a core workout on a surfboard with virtual reality. And of course, the first thing I did was hit the ground because I thought I was falling off my surfboard. But it's a different feeling. And what I realized the most is it attracted a demographic that wasn't necessarily me. But that's a demographic that is our future member.
Yes.
So it's important to, you know, there's more than one path to Oz or more than one road to Oz. And if we are truly serving the industry and the world as we're meant to, as fitness professionals, is we should embrace all the opportunities, educate ourselves, but yet then choose the path that you walk and bring people with you. We're not a little fish in a big sea. We're a big fish in a smaller sea than we know. And we have to speak positively about the other services, but find our brand or our where we fit and then stand out in that brand. And that's the way you can remain professional, but it takes educating yourself and understanding. And I always say, beware, as you educate yourself, you'll fall in love with something that you perhaps didn't know about that will only help you do what you do even better.
Absolutely. I mean, I've always said that, you know, sometimes you find, obviously pre the virtual world, in the group fitness world, it can get quite cliquey, you know, with different cliques of you're Les Mills and you're this and you're that. And I always felt that, but if our end game, if my why is to help people get fitter and get healthier, then if that particular shoe fits better,
yeah,
so be it, right?
So be it.
Yeah.
And they won't forget you. That's the thing I really love is when people, and I, you know, we've experienced it. I've been teaching for 40 plus years. I've had people who have walked out of my class for whatever reason. I used to think it's because they hated me. Now I realize they had a place to go, or maybe it wasn't for them. But I have had so many members say to me, you know, Mo, I came to your class and, well, I was looking for something more high impact than low impact. I really learned from your class that, you know, fill in the blanks. And I've never forgotten that. And that's helped me remain injury free all these years. So we, you know, it's people will take what they need. And the beautiful part is they can come back because of how you made them feel.
Yes.
Not about you, but about themselves. And they will remember you for that. And I encourage everyone listening to reflect back at the end of the day on the lives that you impacted, even in a very small way, because what we think is a small way has a ripple effect that is incredible in their grand scheme of their life. And all it takes is that one experience in that community to make them feel happier, loved, part of a cause of action, you know, helping them learn about themselves. I tell you, and I say this, I say it sometimes jokingly, you know, because I'm a licensed physio, I can say, thank you, this is therapy. But every time I teach a class, it feels like therapy for my body, for my mind, for my emotional health, and also for my community desires, you know, it just fills in all of the blanks. And what I'm realizing too, post-pandemic, is the people coming into group fitness as fitness instructors, as well as members, that has changed a lot as well. People are coming for purposes of not just the physical workout, but connecting to something. Yes. Or becoming part of a, you know, cause as we help the world recover. And that's what's really has me feeling super optimistic and excited, not only about the fitness industry, but for group fitness specifically.
Yeah, definitely. I think people have missed that connection, haven't they? And as much as, you know, they can join in a class virtually, Like for example, at our yoga studio, we all our classes are available on Zoom as well, so they feel part of the class still. But yeah, they'll say, "Oh my God, it's so much harder when you come to the studio."
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, nothing will replace the live experience, but it's great they can still be part of it when they can't come live. And now we have reasons, like we're actually watching performance at club level everywhere. And even with the weather in Canada in the winter, the cottages, the summer vacations where people say, "Oh, I can't come to your class because I'm going to the cottage." Now you can say, "Oh yeah, you can. You can catch me on Zoom, catch me on virtual, catch me on the Good Life app, Les Mills on demand." So now it gives people less excuses and more reason to still participate. But nothing will replace it. And all you have to do is get them there, give them their one dose every so many days or weeks, and they won't stop coming. They just may not come as regularly, but they participate virtually, which means they're still achieving their goals, or at least on the journey to do so.
So kind of growing on that whole idea of, you know, now people are joining in virtually, etc., or there is that option for some clubs. CanFit Pro, you're involved with still. So can you tell our listeners a little bit about CanFit Pro, your role within it, and then this report that you've done, which is a massive report. It's a big survey, like 50 plus thousand Fit Pros responded to this, which is amazing. Yeah.
I'm happy to. So CanFit Pro is Canadian Fitness Professionals. It is a membership training certification events organization that was established in 1993 as a little side project on the edge of my desk. And the why behind it was back in 1993, there was this huge demand by the consumer for aerobic classes or aerobic dance classes, fitness classes, going to, you know, training in a group environment, but also in a gym environment. The generation before always saw that, well, group fitness didn't exist, but it saw a gym as a luxury item. So the demand outweighed the supply. And therefore we had a big shortage of group fitness or aerobic instructors at the time it was called. So again, approached by this crazy idea one morning, shortly after attending a conference, my boss said, "Mo, I bought this conference and magazine and, you know, we're going to do it here in Canada so we can actually train up more instructors." And I said, "Well, why are you sharing it with me?" He goes, "Because you're going to do it." And I said, "Why?" He says, "You do all these workshops with instructors. So if you can run a little conference at our gym, you could probably run a conference for the country." And I went, okay. So it really did start as a short-term project to fill a need in the industry. And of course, now it's our 29th year and we're in our 30th year now. And so what we've done is we've offered an event where we could bring the top presenters and trainers from around the world. And because myself and my boss loved to travel to events, we met many great trainers from the front line, that is from the group fitness side, from the just the starting of personal training. There was a couple presenters on the stage at the time, Douglas Brooks being one, and then business owners. So we brought people together, ran a conference. We had more presenters than delegates the first year, and we just kept growing it. And then we started a certification because we felt that we're getting all this knowledge into people's hands. And in that day, sadly, you could teach a fitness class without a certification. So we thought we wanted to add the credibility piece. So we started certification. I wrote a certification for group fitness that is our fitness instructor specialist today. It's now gone through many editions. And so we started a certification. We started the first personal training certification that we're aware of in Canada a few years after that. So this is 1995 and 1997. And then we just kept growing and the demand again just sort of grew. We kind of accidentally started this company. I started with a team of zero. Now we have a team of 50. And my present role with the company is chief operating officer. So I run the company as an organization that serves the entire Canadian industry. We are a sister company to Good Life Fitness, and not even Good Life Associates are aware of that most days. But it's been very rewarding in that we've trained hundreds of thousands of fitness instructors and personal trainers, as well as specialty programs that help them upskill. And we partner with organizations around the globe as well to bring in specialized education and certification in areas that is not our wheelhouse. We are a grassroots, get started with CAMFIT Pro. Mm. And then we offer the ongoing education. It's been very rewarding. And what we do as part of our membership service is a trend survey and a member survey every year. And this year was pivotal in that we were able to bring both surveys together at the same time. And that's why we got such a great response and some really, really revealing insights.
Yeah, just looking at it. Definitely.
Yeah. Mm. And what I wanted to say, and that's why I was so excited to speak with you today, is I love following trend surveys. I'm kind of like being the detective and solving what are the commonalities? What are the differences? Where should we focus our resources, time, energy, and money? Mm. Is it in the things that are one-offs, or the things that are really becoming the trends? We're seeing them not just in our own backyards, but around the globe. And what I saw for the first time that's unique in Canada is within the top 10s list alone, almost half, if not over half, of the top 10s is reflective in group fitness. Mm-hmm. And freestyle being number three, which I haven't seen freestyle fitness that high on the trends list for many years. Mm. And I have my own opinions on why that is. But it's exciting to see that all genres of group fitness is on the top 10 list, including the demographic expressions of active aging adults, and then active recovery. That all of those top 10 trends have given us now a toolbox where we can expand our skill set and become even more relevant, not only this year, but for the future. And that's more important than ever before, as there are not as many jobs available right now for group fitness instructors. So becoming an expert in one of those top trending areas is key for your short-term and long-term success.
Yeah. So for people that are listening, if you look at the description for the podcast or on YouTube, I'll put the link there so they can download.
Thank you.
And have a look. I was just going to pick your brains on this. So you mentioned here, and I'm looking at the survey on my screen, active aging adult programs. And in the networks that I've been in more recently in the last year or so, that isn't a demographic, or that is an area that people are talking about a lot of. People are talking a lot about it. Then you've got another camp that's talking a lot about, the sort of, my microphone just knocked it over, Gen Z.
Yes. Mm.
But then I'm looking at this and there isn't, it's not in the top 10.
Gen Z as a group itself isn't.
Yeah.
But I feel the programs are.
Yeah, with the functional fitness and the express mini work.
And still HIIT, functional fitness, the Gen Zs are embracing recovery, active recovery. Not, your recovery that we might think it as, a day off of training or, passive stretching. No, active recovery is the full gamut. And Gen Zs are into more feeling good than what their parents and grandparents did, as far as go hard or go home attitude. And it hurts, so I worked out great. They're into more, I want to feel better and move better. And some Gen Zs, intensity is not their thing. It's more about moving their body. And so that's where the program concepts will attract Gen Zs. Our mind ends. We have a mind end. That means you can go in and sleep, self-guided meditation. You can go in and use the beautiful space and, fragrances and the beanbag chairs. You could see a good certain generation in there just having a cat nap. Whereas my generation, the sauna was the place to go to recover, you know, and we'd hang out in the sauna. I wouldn't say we, but I had a lot of friends and their ideas. They'd work out for a half an hour and go to the sauna for an hour, drink all their water and detox. Like that was our recovery back then. So the programs suit some of the demographics, but because active aging programming was commented on by so many, that's where the data then accumulated it to hit the top 10.
Yeah.
And when I mean programming, Yancy, it's also older adult programming. Yeah. Isn't your, you know, slow, light intensity. No. Yes, they like LIT, which is low intensity interval training, but it still has intensity to it. It's just low impact.
Yes.
They love fascial work. They love the yoga, Pilates, back conditioning. They love the Tai Chi. There's so many programs under the term active recovery. And then of course, active aging is, I used to always say, perhaps it's just more personalized to what the active ager needs to manage metabolism and to preserve youthfulness, or as many people say, you know, they don't mind getting old. They just don't want to age before their time.
Yeah, I've been covering a maternity cover for a friend, and it's called a legs, bums, core class.
Oh, yes.
And I haven't done freestyle, and I haven't done that for, I don't know, 15 years or more. Woo. So I was like thrown in the deep. I was like, okay, I'll do this. And it's a mid-morning class, and it's always full. And I would say the room, if I look out at the studio, the almost the entire back two rows, so it's like, you know, are average age, I would say 70, 72.
Yep.
And they're fantastic. They struggle to get on the floor, you know. And I'm like, yeah, but what happens if you're at home? You need to get up off the floor. So come on, you know. And then the middle row are probably, you know, the ones in their 40s. Their kids are at school and they're not working, you know, they can come to class. And then I think there's a few, I would say, like the Gen Zs, the younger ones at the front. But it's great to teach a class like that.
Oh. I find teaching, you know, freestyle, I love the fact that I can teach pre-choreography, but then I can put my freestyle creative brain on and I can still be creative in pre-choreography. That is a certain, you know, it's that what personality am I bringing to that particular pre-choreographed class? But there's something about freestyle that is entrepreneurial to me. It allows me to be that, you know, creative dancer or creative person that, you know, I don't get to do necessarily in my 9-to-5 job. But what I love about what you just said, which I think speaks highly to why the oldest people in the world are still living into their 100th-plus year, they all say the same thing, is that it's the community and the social connection. And I love it that we have classes where it's intergenerational. That was actually in our trends report last year. Where you can be with the 20-year-olds, the 40-year-olds. Yeah.
I think it keeps them young.
Oh, that's why, you know, grandparents, I'm now one, always say kids keep you young. Well, they do, whether you like it or not. So now they seek it because it does. It reminds them. You know, I went to a body attack class on Saturday, and you know what it reminded me of? Yeah, I didn't move quite as well. And yeah, it bothered my hip a little bit, but that's because I'm working through that rehab. But what I remembered like it was yesterday is that feeling, that community. I saw more people in an hour than I had seen in 3 years. And it made me feel like I could do anything. So the fact that I was, well, there was a group of us. I'm now in my 60s. There was a group of us in our 60s and 70s in that class. And they were kicking. This one woman, I hadn't seen her for a while. She reminded me she was 74. If you were to look at her, there was nothing on her that would even think she was in her 60s. I would have pegged her, because I knew her a bit, but I pegged her for her 50s. She was turning 74. And she was red in the face because she worked her tush off in that class and loved every moment. And she was in the front. So I love this. I think that is a that is a secret sauce to a great studio that is able to bring people of multi-generations together and move people together. The young will keep the older people, or the active ager, I'd like to call it, because old is a judgment in my opinion. But the active ager, you know, moving the way they desire and remember. And then it also, that active ager helps to reduce judgment by the younger generation that old is out, you know?
But then I guess you see, when we talk about the people that are in clubs, it's still a very small percentage of the total population of a country.
Yes, sadly it is.
And so if you look at your average 74-year-old, your average 74-year-old in the country as a whole, they're not these people that we see in the clubs.
Yeah.
Really, are they?
That's true. We just walk some of the streets in busy cities and we can see, or not even walking. They're not walking.
No.
No, we're part of that 1% club, which is unfortunate. And that's another reason that with virtual, we're able to reach and connect with people that may not be able to leave their homes at this time of the year due to weather and terrain, but you can still train them or inspire them in a community setting.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. What would you love to see happen with our industry?
Oh, that is a big question. Oh, well, oh my gosh. Good question, Nancy. I'd love to see that my legacy is I could remove myself from the industry knowing that a certified fitness professional is a respected member of the health care professional team or the allied health professional group that gets to work with people of all ages, all needs, and all abilities. So right now our respect is growing in some countries, but it depends where you are and the connections or the respect that you've gained in your community. But that would be where I'd love to see the industry grow, that we are a piece of the solution and we're not pushed aside as, well, you don't have a, you know, 6-year degree with a certificate at a college somewhere, but you have the lived worked experiences that help you gain the qualifications needed so that you can be part of that patient care team. That's my ultimate, what I'd love to see. How we get there is that we need to, you know, help make fitness more than just the physical, bring the wellness piece and the mental health piece in, because it is, it is absolutely our opportunity at this time is to introduce people to movement for mental health and wellness. And to do that, we need to invite more people into the industry to become fitness professionals and help to create opportunities where people could have a very thriving career in a part-time, not just a full-time, but a full-time if they seek it, so that your allied health professionals choose to become a certified fitness professional. And I've seen that. I've seen just in the last number of years with the lockdowns and with the healthcare teams having been uprooted, more nurses than ever before are taking our courses. Right. More firefighters, more paramedics are becoming personal trainers so they can bring their knowledge into this environment and vice versa. Yeah. So more marrying of people that have fitness as part of their professional portfolio. But to do that, we need to break down the stereotypes of what fitness is. It's not just where you go sweat and, you know, wear clothes that are revealing. It's a place of inclusive opportunity for everyone to feel better and to perform best in whatever they desire in their life. And the physical training piece is the vehicle that helps them journey along that path, but it's not the only piece. So change is required, our mindset, but we can't change the mindset or the judgment of the consumer until we lead with that change ourselves.
And that is a bigger hurdle in some countries, I think. You know, some countries are much further ahead in that conversation, isn't it?
Certainly are. Oh my gosh. I went to a retreat, a fitness retreat in Europe. And you go to a resort. I have to be honest and say, if I went to this a similar resort in North America, there'd be more people on the beach and at the poolside bar than they would be in the pool exercising or in the gyms in those beautiful resorts. 80%, if not more, of that resort exercised with all of us every day and then enjoyed everything else at that resort. Whereas that is not the case in some countries. Mm. They go on holiday. That holiday means you can sit around, just do nothing and eat and drink all week long. And I was still, I'm surprised after all these years of traveling and the privilege of being in different countries and cultures, is that so many countries, they just have fitness and movement and all of the genres within health and wellness as part of their daily lifestyle, whether they're on vacation or not. You don't stop brushing your teeth when you're on vacation. So why would you stop exercising when you're on vacation? That's just one example of where the culture of what we do needs to change, but it all starts in our own backyard. Oh, you know, I started a streetside fitness class, ANSI, during the pandemic. And we'd get anywhere from 13, we were limited, even outdoors, up to 25. We still do it 3 years later. And what we have is maybe 2 out of the 15 people did formalized fitness before the pandemic. Mm. Yet the entire participant of the street and the neighborhood, they all participate. It's become part of their lifestyle. And they all have incredible stories to share how it helped manage their health, mm-hmm. take control of what they could do during a time where they were told what they couldn't do. And it brought us together as a community. And I know all my neighbors by name now. I know everything about them. We get together, we party on the street, share a few cocktails on the street, and we exercise together every Sunday. It's That's beautiful. Awesome. Now, I am in a privileged community where people, you know, have knowledge of the importance of health, but it's a start, and it certainly
it's a great idea.
I hope it'll be contagious, and it certainly has been the talk of Old North here in London.
You can start that as a trend, isn't it? Streetside fitness.
I should. It did. Hashtag. It did become. It was the model for National Health and Fitness Day for Canada in the last 2 years.
Amazing.
Our streetside fitness class. So yeah, that's just one way of bringing fitness to the masses, then asking the masses to come to fitness.
Amazing. You've been in the industry such a long time. What continues to drive you?
Well, my why drives me. My desire to move people forward so that they can, you know, be inspired or influenced or both to live their true purpose. And I truly believe from my own experiences in life, is that when you move your body physically, mentally, and emotionally through fitness, it is the prescription that keeps your mind right, keeps you clear, focused, and passionate, because it gives you, you know, fitness gives you energy. It also helps you focus your energy. And, you know, we can all be better when we're in our best states, physically, mentally, and emotionally, we can perform better in whatever our role of life is. So my why drives me to help people every day, and fitness and what I do in the fitness industry is the vehicle for that. And that's what I love, is the career that I do is challenging me every day, because it is such a fast growing, changing, evolving, revolutionary profession that I'm constantly learning, which is also fulfills my curiosity. And I love innovation. It also fulfills my entrepreneurial spirit. So I will continue to keep moving and serving the world as long as the industry and world will have me. And in doing so, you know, I will be honest and say, yes, some days my work feels like a job, because there's things that we all do that is the grind, but the grind is the climb. And you can't get to where you want to, you see for yourself and potential for others, if you're not willing to do the grind.
Yeah.
And so, but for most, I could say, you know, 365 days a year, maybe 300 of those days of the year, it's truly a passion, and the 65 or the grind, But you know what? I look back and when I think about it, when I stand on a stage at a conference that took 6 months, 8 months to create, I immediately forget the pain of that grind or that labor. And I think of the purpose and I look at the faces and the lives that potentially will change. And it just makes me feel like my work is not a job. It's a purpose and a passion to serve the world. So aligning with your why, as long as that keeps getting me out of bed every day, and then I'll keep doing it.
It's amazing. I mean, I think, you know, I've been to Camford Po the once, you know, for Les Mills, and amazing conference. It was like, I was like, oh my God, you got Mark Whitwell for yoga and lots of other things there. And then you talked about that, you know, it was literally just you had to start it. You had to plant the seed and just grow it and look at it like, you know, like now. Look at the club chains and, you know, what you've done and what you've achieved in your life. It's absolutely inspirational, Mo.
Inspirational. Yeah. What I get to do breathes life into so many other careers. And I mean, who doesn't want that opportunity every day to affect or impact? I love, you know, just that ability to do more than something that delivers, like, as we say, with all due respect, because, you know, you can create a beautiful, thriving income in the fitness industry if you're determined to create that for yourself. But I never say I'm in this industry for the money. I'm in the industry for the opportunities to influence the world to be a healthier place and give more people the tool to choose how they want to live their life. And I think it's the best career in the whole world. I mean, I worked in medicine. In medicine, you treat disease. In fitness and health and wellness, we treat lifestyles, you know, and it's preventative. That's the part where we have more opportunities, I truly believe, to create change in the world. We need more of everyone to join this force, this army, this revolution. And you know, this is a very interesting time. If we had had this conversation last year at the same time, I would have thought, woo, this year is going to be a tough one. It started out really rough. We were still in lockdown in Canada. But this year, it's like my bum bounces on my seat talking to you with optimism.
It is amazing. Now, if you could sum up group fitness for you in one word, what would that be?
Camaraderie.
Oh, excellent. It is though, isn't it? Otherwise, you just work out on a treadmill or yourself, right?
But camaraderie has connection. It has that energy that you feel. It has a sense of accountability. You know, I'm in it so I can see it, but the camaraderie, it's like that first follower, but there's the instructor and they inspire that front row that moves this, like camaraderie just says it all.
It is. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. So thank you, Mo, for your time. It's been wonderful.
My pleasure. It's a wonderful conversation to have to take me from the first half of the week into the latter part of the week. It's the great climb to that, what we otherwise call hump day here where we're recording on this Wednesday. But to whatever day it is when you listen to this, I hope it does get your juices flowing and your desire to keep being part of group fitness by leading classes. And if you're not in it yet, then join us.
Awesome. So for listeners, you can click on the description for this episode and all of Mo's links will be there. So do give her a follow, subscribe to her newsletter. I get it. I'm on it.
Thank you.
And she will no doubt be dropping, you know, carry on dropping seeds of inspiration everywhere she goes. Thank you so much, Mo.
Thank you. Pleasure.
And that's a wrap on this episode with Maureen Hagen. It was truly inspiring to hear her insights on the industry, on how it's progressed, on community, and on building a legacy, you know, and leadership. So here are my key takeaways from our conversation. Number one, it's important to follow your passion and take a sabbatical as and when you need it, right? Life really is too short to be living someone else's life. You've got to live your passion, follow it. Secondly, energy is addictive. We know group fitness is all about energy, so share it, but also make sure you replenish too. Number three, seek to understand and then serve. Okay, this is key, especially for those of you that are looking to build a business or are building a business in this field. And finally, plant a seed and grow it, nurture it. Whatever it is, building something for longevity takes time and effort. By nurturing it and staying committed to the process, you can create something that lasts. So thank you for tuning in, and I hope you found this episode as insightful as I did. I hope that this encourages and inspires you, and more importantly, I hope you know how much I appreciate you for listening. Have you checked out our previous episodes? We've got quite a few there now, and there are some great episodes coming up, so please subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, and have a wonderful rest of your day.